With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Wednesday to you now. Here we are, April the 24th, which can mean only one thing. That's right. The NFL, the draft is right around the corner. No, seriously, it is right around the corner. 24 hours from now, we will have hope as a New York Jet fan base to see maybe, just maybe, they don't screw this up here. But I know a lot of fan bases are on the edge of their seat as the king of all kings, the NFL, will take center stage 24 hours from now. And we have got you coming up this hour. In fact, we'll talk to our good friend Brady Cannon, and we'll get his thoughts on what can be expected in what is supposed to be an extremely quarterback-heavy draft. And could franchises restart with the right pick here? So a lot to break down when it comes down to the NFL draft. We'll have you covered here on this edition of Game Time Decisions. But let us not forget, we still have NBA playoffs to get to here tonight. In fact, a little less than an hour from now, the Miami Heat will try to even things up against the Boston Celtics at the TD Garden in Boston. Did not work out all that well in game one for Miami, but, well, it looks like the markets don't think it's going to work out all that well in game two either. 14.5 points we're seeing, which, if there is any light at the end of the tunnel, this was 15 when it opened, so it looks like some people are betting the Miami Heat here, though, at 14 and a half. Ironically enough, the total is the thing that has been moving the most in that game. We saw this at 203 as an open, and it started to creep back up, got as high as 207, and now we're starting to see this come back down here a little. So that game is going to be the kickoff of the NBA slate here tonight, and that'll be followed up, of course, by game two between the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Another 1-7 situation going on with Oklahoma City squeaking by in game one against New Orleans, in a game in which New Orleans pretty much dominated the rebounding in the game, which gave them the opportunity to steal one in that game one. Unfortunately, they weren't able to make any shots down the stretch, and OKC got away with one there. We're going to see if OKC can make any adjustments here tonight, because they're laying exactly the same number that they were laying in game one. In fact, 7.5 is what we had for game one, and it got an awful lot of steam throughout the day, pushed that thing all the way up to 9, 9.5 just before tip-off. And obviously, the New Orleans Pelicans were the only team to be able to cover in those game ones there. OKC, another home team, got it done in game one. Will they get it done in game two? A lot still to be decided here tonight in the association. And speaking of playoffs, the NHL, they've got some playoffs coming up here tonight also, as some teams try to get it back to even. And we're going to start with the early game here tonight. How about it? You got yourselves the Bruins, who unfortunately weren't able to get both at home. We got a series knotted up at one apiece. Toronto will host them here and still right around the same price, right? Still right around a pick'em price between these two teams. And we're going to see if anything changes here. Can Toronto hold serve on their ice tonight in an all-important game three? That should be a fun one. And how about Dallas taking on Las Vegas, who welcomed back Mark Stone, among others, in that first game? And, well, welcome back. Vegas just seems to know how to beat the Dallas Stars. They have done it for quite a while now, and they are doing it again as the defending Stanley Cup champs will once again be on the road taking on Dallas. And we're going to see whether or not Dallas can muster up and get one done. Now, this is one of those all-important situations where teams don't want to go down 2-0. We just saw Toronto in game two on the road against the Boston Bruins. They knew what they had to do, and I think Dallas realizes what they can't have happen here, and what they can't have happen is hopping on a plane and going to Vegas down 2-0. You can say the exact same thing for the late night game here tonight, which will feature the LA Kings taking on the Edmonton Oilers here. Another one of those all-important games in which you can't go down 2-0 and expect to be able to come back into this thing, even if you are the LA Kings. But a 7-4 game one victory made over bettors extremely happy in that first one. And the Oilers, well, they just look like the better team, don't they, across the board? We have seen this edition of the Edmonton Oilers before. You can blink, and before you know it, it's 4-0 Edmonton. And that's exactly what the Kings have to try to avoid. But again, I can't imagine trying to sweat out an under with the likes of Connor McDavid on the ice there, and Leon Draisaitl, and Henrique. I just can't imagine going, you know what, I think this is going to be a 2-1 game. I don't think so. But Joe Madden, she's going to drop by here a little bit later this hour. We'll get her thoughts on the slate of the NHL games, and we've got plenty of Major League Baseball. In fact, two games already underway right now, one in the bottom of the eighth with the New York Mets. Finally look like they might win a game in front of the San Francisco Giants, 6-1 here. The Met bats have come alive finally after a rough one against Logan Webb last night. 6-1 bottom of the eighth there, and same situation for the Baltimore Orioles. They too had a rough go of it there yesterday and lost one to the LA Angels, but it looks like they're going to get one back here. They're handling their business 6-3 now, top of the seventh, as the O's are on top. Coming up, bottom of this hour, Boston taking on Cleveland in what is going to be, again, not a great weather evening. And anybody that watched that game last night, I can't even believe that the Guardians and the Red Sox were allowed to play in that game last night, as the weather was not favorable in any way, shape, or form. And it's not going to be great here tonight either. That's why we're starting to see a total. Well, 7.5 is what you are seeing now. It was 8.5 last night, and they didn't come close to sniffing that. Now we're starting to see some under money come in. But we got the Guardians as a slight favorite in that game, and the Guardians been red hot handling their business as of late. And I'll admit it, I didn't expect to see the Red Sox be this good at this particular point in the season. I have a under win season ticket on them, and while their good news for me is there's plenty of baseball, and seeing how they continue to put pitchers on the IL here, I do think that's still a pretty good bet. We also have the Brewers trying to handle business against the Pirates here tonight as a slight favorite. That game coming up 6:40 Eastern time. We've got bullpen. That's right. Bullpen days for both teams there. Wilson against Fleming in that one. Can the Brewers get back to scoring runs? It's been a rough go here the last couple of games. This was one of the best hitting teams we had seen so far in Major League Baseball, but they've kind of hit the skids here. They'll have an opportunity to get on track here in just about 20 minutes. You also have the Phillies and the Reds here in a rubber match. What a pitching matchup this is going to be. Turnbull versus Lodolo. This should be a fun one to watch here. No Bryce Harper for the Phillies here tonight on maternity leave. So they are going to be missing his bat, but we'll see whether or not that makes a difference. Plenty more Major League Baseball coming your way. But like we said, the NFL front and center. The draft is tomorrow. We've got plenty on that. Come back and join us here. Game Time Decisions on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. We got plenty going on here tonight. Of course, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball. But let's not forget, the king of the heap is the NFL, and they are going to be front and center 24 hours from now as the NFL draft will take center stage, not just in the NFL, but of course here on the Sports Grid Network. And joining us here to try to make heads or tails, like what I did there, Brady Cannon, as to what we're going to get, is one Brady Cannon there. Always a pleasure, Brady, as it's kind of hard to believe, but we're all wrapped up in playoffs, PGA season, baseball, and then just like that, the NFL draft is here. And I was just saying, I don't remember a draft in which this many quarterbacks have been thrown around and discussed. And it all starts, I guess, with Caleb Williams. Everyone's just assuming he's the number one pick here, which is great. But there's a few other quarterbacks on this board. This is a huge quarterback-heavy draft, isn't it?
It really is. And I think, you know, the number two pick is still very much up in the air. Jaden Daniels has become a pretty darn big favorite to go number two to the Commanders. But you have to remember their quarterback coach, McCown, you know, coached Drake May in high school. I don't know if that means anything. It probably means a little something. I personally think it will be Daniels. I think probably overall he's the better athlete. And if you're kind of stuck, you know, I think you maybe just take the more athletic player. It seems that's where the quarterback position has gone in the last 5, 6, 7 years. It really, ever since the resurgence of Patrick Mahomes, you know, to the top of the world at that position, you got to have the mobility. We know Jaden Daniels has that. And then the Patriots are really interesting. You know, are they going to take the leftover there? Are they going to take Daniels or Drake May if they're still around? Are they going to go back to the old Bill Belichick style of trading down and accumulating draft capital? That didn't work so well for him the last handful of years, the end of Belichick's tenure there in New England. I would think the new regime, I mean, some people think Marvin Harrison Jr. will go number three to the Patriots, who's probably the best player available from the get-go. I kind of have to believe, I mean, are you really going to skip on a pretty darn good prospect in Daniels or May, or maybe some people think J.J. McCarthy, and take a receiver when, meanwhile, back at camp, you have Bailey Zappe. I think they have to go with a quarterback. I would say Harrison probably goes number four to the Cardinals. I think the Chargers, I actually have a bet, Joe, on the number five pick will be Joe Alt, the outstanding offensive tackle for Notre Dame. I think the Chargers are going to take him at five. Now, obviously, Minnesota, you expect, is going to get involved and somehow try and trade up to get a quarterback. I kind of feel they'll probably end up with J.J. McCarthy. I just don't know where it's going to be. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And that could certainly interrupt my Joe Alt going number five.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Brady. One of the things that I love about the NFL draft is the unbelievable lying through the teeth and the leaks that come from organizations to everyone pivoting left and goes right. And you truly never, ever believe anything that you are hearing when it comes to, oh, this team loves this guy, this team. It's all misdirection, and nobody does it better than the NFL here. But we just watched a season in which Joe Flacco was on a couch and comes, has to get called because we don't have enough quarterbacks, right? We watched the Jets not have a quarterback in their entire season. I mean, go down the list of the backups and the guys that had incredible. To play this year. You almost, if you need a quarterback in this kind of draft, it feels like teams are going to unload to go get one. What other choice do you have here, Brady?
You don't have much. And you know what the point you're alluding to there is, how long is that guy going to stick around anyway? I mean, I think there were some 70 different starters or more in the league last year. I mean, that's really, you know, I've often said the best job in the world is to be about the 110th best golfer in the world. You retain your PGA Tour card every year, you make $1 million and nobody knows who you are. Maybe the second best job is backup quarterback in the NFL, you know, because nobody knows who you are. You're going to start about six games, you collect a nice check and you go home. But it's obviously, it's always been the most important position, but it just seems that so heightened these days with the rule changes, the way they protect quarterbacks, the way they protect receivers, they protect just about everything on offense. And I think that makes the position even more that more important.
Yeah, and you can only get them in one way. So, all right, you've got some bets here coming up. Let's throw them up on the screen, Brady. Run through these bets for the draft for us. Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mentioned Joe Alt going number 5 overall. I got that at 4-1. I've seen even higher, as high as plus 475. I don't know if anything that high is still around, but you know, I also think you could make a bet on him to go under 7.5. I think he's definitely going to be taken in the first 7 picks. I'm hoping it's number 5 to the Chargers. I also took Brock Bowers, the kid from Napa, California, tight end for Georgia. Got him at over 10.5. I've seen basically 11.5 as the consensus number. I've even seen 12.5 now and seen some people going the other way under 12.5. I think it's a good chance he goes to the Broncos at 12, but I really like him going higher than 10.5. That was minus 140. Then I took Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. I took him under 14.5. You know, it seems the second most popular pick to quarterbacks is probably a good edge rusher. You have to stop that quarterback somehow. So I think you're going to have a couple of edge rushers taken high in this draft. The other one is Dallas Turner out of Alabama. I have him going under 9.5. So at 9 or sooner, and that's a plus price, plus 150 on Turner. And then a couple other minus prices, minus 150 on Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, under 31.5 for his draft position. And then finally, the fine wide receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze, under 8.5 for his draft position. That is also minus 150.
A lot of fun to bet on the NFL draft, and we'll have a chance to do that again coming up tomorrow. We'll also have a chance to talk to Brady next hour. The Zurich Classic on tap for the PGA. Brady, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next hour. Our GTD continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. So we've got a lot going on here. NBA playoffs. The Major League Baseball underway already here tonight, the NFL draft. But let's not forget, we're back on the ice tonight in the NHL playoffs, and nobody better here to break it down for us than the one and only Joe Madden in the house. Joe, it is an absolute pleasure to talk some pucks with you here, because gotta love Toronto manning up, getting it done here in game number 2. Now they're back home. And the question, I guess, on our minds is, how much faith do we have for them to hold serve on their own home ice?
Yeah, that's the hugest question, Joe, because you looked at them in the regular season and they struggled at home. The Boston Bruins actually have a better road record than the Toronto Maple Leafs in the regular season did at home. So I don't know how much faith I have in the Toronto Maple Leafs here, especially with how Boston's been rotating their goaltender. So we saw Ullmark in that last game. We saw Swayman in game number one, and Swayman came out so phenomenally strong. He stopped 35 of 36 shots on his net. If he comes out that strong, Toronto's not going to be able to score today. So I kind of went with a bet that I feel is going to cash no matter who wins in this one. I put together a parlay, Joe, just because I looked at Boston's team total. I expect Boston to get three goals in this, win or lose, on Samsonov. He's not getting the protection from his defense out there, and I do think we will see them find the back of his goal. So I took their team total over 2.5. It's juicy at minus 156, but when you parlay it there with Pasternak for the anytime goal from the Boston Bruins, that's coming in at plus 158, and I love it. Pasternak was such a main part of this offense all season, and we've already seen him come out, be impactful on these lines. He's on the top power play, and I think he has every opportunity to be able to find the back of Samsonov's net tonight, and I love a little plus 158 for a two-leg parlay, Joe.
Yeah, and listen, the Bruins weren't necessarily great on the road this year either. But is it me, Joe, or have you a lot of penalties so far here? A lot of power plays, a lot of it's a very chippy series, and I don't think that's going to change here tonight.
No, it's not. And both of these teams have to be careful not to get in that box because we will see the other teams be able to convert when they do so. And that's kind of why I want to stay off the full game total. Looking at this, you should expect these games to be lower scoring. We're not seeing that over the majority of these series so far because these teams are taking the penalties. The power play opportunities are coming. Teams aren't killing them at a rate we would expect. And that 5-on-5 play, you hit on it for Boston. They haven't been great out there on the road. So I do think three goals in this one for them, but these two teams are chippy. They're getting those hits out there. Those penalties are coming. And I just don't want to be on the wrong side of a total because of it. With that total of 5.5, I can't take it to the under because of it, but I don't want to bet it to the over either.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I went first period over in that one, too, because I think we'll get 1-1 when it's all said and done. Is Dallas ever going to beat Vegas? Can they start tonight? Do you think it's a good idea?
They absolutely have to win this one tonight. If they go back to the fortress down 0-2, they are completely done, Joe. It's so hard for teams to win in Vegas. Mark Stone came out with that power play goal. Hurdle got a power play goal. For Dallas to be able to win this here at home, this is a do or die situation in my mind, at least. They have to win that first period. They have to come out strong, but they have to stay at the penalty box because they're not killing these penalties out there. And Jake Oettinger actually needs to come to play. I don't know what happened to him in that first game. You look at the shots on his net, 15 shots on net. He only saved 11. Like, that is just appalling what we saw out of Jake Oettinger there. Dallas cracked down in the second and third period. They limited them to limited on goal. It was like 4 and 3 shots in the second and third period. So Dallas needs to do that again. They can win this. Give me Dallas in the first period on the puck line and the money line. The puck line in the first period laying the half a goal is coming in at plus 158. The money line at minus 144.
Love it. All right. And finally, no way I'm sweating out an under to Kings Edmonton. You're going to go team total over for them?
Yeah, I'm going to look at the total over 2.5 at minus 118. We know one thing, and it's Skinner does allow those goals to come in no matter what, if Edmonton's winning or losing here. I'm looking at Connor McDavid for the 2+. Can't stop for 9 out there. I'd also ladder it up to 3+ points, sorry, at plus 250. I think he has every ability to continue out there on the ice, Joe.
Yeah, take advantage of those opportunities while you can early on in the NHL playoffs. Love that, Joe Madden. We appreciate you. Good luck with those tickets. Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. As off and running, Major League Baseball here tonight, couple of games underway. We got about a half a dozen games coming up top of the hour for first pitch. We'll talk baseball coming up, but we also have coming up top of the hour. Yeah, we got tip off. It is game two between the Celtics and the Miami Heat here. And once again, we've got touchdowns for a line spread here. And Mark Zinno knows all about it here. As again, we're looking at two touchdowns here as a spread, Zinno. Celtics at home. Now, mind you, that game was easy, game number one, but those that were holding and laying 14, 15 points with the Celtics had to sweat that thing out until the very last minute here. So I can't run to the window laying 14 and a half here. Is there any other way we should be looking at this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are other ways, but I'll say this. I can run to the window and lay 14 with the Boston Celtics. There's not a world where Miami should keep this thing close. If they are, that means Boston is playing really, really bad. And so that, to me, is one of those things where, you know, Boston is a markedly better team, even, you know, with Jimmy Butler on the floor. And I don't think those two teams are close. You could take last year and leave it there. But still, this is a Boston team that does everything better. Now, that said, you know, when you get in a situation like this, I always look to the team total market, right? You try to figure out which team is going to be able to score more, which team's going to be able to defend better. And you go down that road, and that's what I've done here. I mean, you know, the team total for the Miami Heat is an absurdly low number. And, Joe, look, you know I made my bones the last month and a half of the NBA regular season betting really bad teams to get over their team total with quite a measure of success. Now I'm betting a playoff team to get over their team total here. That is the lowest number that I've seen, you know, for the better part of a decade. For a team total in an actual playoff game. So with the Miami Heat being at 93.5, like essentially, Joe, all they have to do is avoid the 14-point quarter that they had in the third quarter against Boston. In theory, if all they do is score 22 points, 23, 24 points a quarter, we're home. Like they don't even have to get to 25. So I'm not asking Miami to do a lot here. And for a team that shot so poorly from the field and from three in game one, as long as they have some regression to the mean here, they should be able to do it. My biggest concern with Miami going over their team total is the pace. They play really slow, and without Jimmy Butler on the floor, they'll probably play a little bit slower, but I'm hopeful that Boston can push the pace, score a lot early, and force Miami to keep up. And Boston really doesn't have to do all that much work on the defensive end. I think they realized that in game one, just to be able to outscore this team and win a basketball game. So, but when you see a number like this, Joe, at 93.5, I mean, come on. This is a ludicrous number to post. But it does make sense given that their team total was 97.5 in game one. And look where that number went. So I get the math of the whole thing, but I'm going to ride with the Heat here. Eric Spoelstra is a fantastic coach. He's not going to get embarrassed two games in a row. At least that's what I'm banking on. And that the Heat will come out here and be able to score 94 points. And oh, by the way, Joe, they've only been held – back-to-back games under 100 twice this year. Once in early November against the Knicks and Nets in New York, and then another time in late January when they were in the middle of a seven-game losing streak. But other than that, every other time they scored less than 100, the next game they bounced back to score at least 100. I've got some wiggle room here to get between 94 and 99 somewhere.
Yeah, and history tells us against this Celtics team, they've pretty much gone over 93.5 points in every game over the last couple of seasons. So this would be a historically bad game for Miami, but they would tell you they had that one last game. So I'm with you 100% here. Look for a bounce back with the Miami Heat. Also, listen, if you're New Orleans, congratulations. You should have stole that first game there, especially the way they out-rebounded the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that's what kept them in that game, not to mention the second-chance points opportunity. Every time they missed a shot, they had another shot because OKC couldn't grab a rebound. If they clean that up, is this a blowout here tonight?
I mean, the biggest thing that stood out to me about this game more than anything was the drop in the total was 6 points. Oof. Like, Joe, anytime any number moves 6 points, that's a significant amount. Without an injury to a player, right? Like, the line moving six from one game to the next game is a massive number. Game one was 216.5, we're down to 210. Now, I get it, both teams stayed under 100 in the first game, but you also had both of these teams shoot epically bad. Epically is an aggressive word. They shot really, really bad. And for a team like Oklahoma City, you know, that scores, that's a top 10 team in offensive efficiency, you know, for them to shoot as bad as they did, again, I would think there would have to be some semblance of regression here. Both of these defenses are good. I don't want to take anything away from them, but for both of these teams not to get to 105 or be in that range, to me, you would have to have back-to-back really poor shooting nights, or I guess you could phrase it the other way and say back-to-back really great defensive nights on both teams, because in reality, all it takes is one of these teams to get to 110 or more, and in theory, we're good. But I would lean on the Thunder here to have the better offensive night and bounce back and figure this thing out, because I don't think you can keep that many shooters and scorers silent two games in a row. And if they do, I think this thing goes over. I'm not a huge fan of betting overs for the game in any of these NBA series right now, but with the number dropping too much, I just think that's too many points to lower the total from 216 to 210.
Yeah, it totally is. And a big reason for it was, quite honestly, New Orleans at 52 to 44, and they grabbed 36% of their missed shots. And that's maybe is the biggest thing that we've always said with OKC. They're not the biggest team. And it looks like, you know, New Orleans was able to go in there, bang around, throw a lot of bodies at guys, and it kind of slowed the game down a little bit here. But if they control the pace, you got to figure team totals at all, this thing is flying over OKC.
I would think so. But again, if New Orleans defense does what they did in game one, I think it's one of those things you'll know early. Yeah, you'll know. Yeah. I mean, early on in that game, you could tell OKC was not making shots, you know, just because of the way they were playing defense and the coverage. So it'll be one of these things where, you know, I don't really like to advise like first quarter bets per se, but if you're feeling like OKC is going to bounce back here, take them in the first quarter, get it out of the way, watch 12 minutes of basketball, and then shut the TV off for the rest of the night because you don't care and you cash a ticket. But that's kind of the way I would look at it, because if OKC ain't hitting them early, guess what? I don't think there's going to be a lapse defensively where all of a sudden in the third quarter they come out and hit 60% of their shots in the field. I just, you know, New Orleans defense is too good for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, we got a couple of teams down 2-0 here that have games coming up. Do you give the Sixers a chance still to make it a six-game series, seven-game series, or are you thinking it might be over for the Sixers here?
I mean, I don't want to let my Knicks bias get in the way, but the bottom line here is that the Knicks have managed to win two games with their best player not playing his best in both of those games. That's a bad sign. Like, if Jalen Brunson comes out and drops 35, I don't think Philadelphia is winning. Like, Jalen Brunson has been bad shooting. He's been okay scoring just because he's volume, but he's not played anywhere near his best game. If he plays his best game, Philadelphia is in real trouble. And that's the problem for the Sixers, that the Knicks have managed to figure out a way to win two games with their best player just having very average to below average nights.
Number 8 pick tomorrow, your Atlanta Falcons. What are they doing?
I kind of hope they take a wide receiver just to piss everybody off. But you know, we'll see. I'd rather enjoy that. Look, there's a philosophical logic to it. You have Kirk Cousins, you have Bijan Robinson, you have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts. Just outscore everybody. Like, let the playoffs be what the playoffs are going to be. Worry about that when you get there. But score 30 points a game, and guess what? You're going to win the division. You're getting a home playoff game. We'll see what shakes out after that. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that philosophy. Yep. It's really hard to fix multiple things at the same time in one off season.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone, you can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
So if you go all in on offense because you spent $180 million on your quarterback, you may as well go all in. People would say that they're going to take a defensive end. I would think they would trade back if they're going to do it because Dallas turnover rate is too high.
I agree 100%. Your boots on the ground, as they say there in Atlanta, watching the Falcon fan base lose their mind tomorrow night. Zeno, good luck here tonight. Enjoy it, my man. We'll talk to you again soon. Game time decisions. We'll close out the hour next year on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as NHL hockey getting ready to take center stage here and center ice tonight. As we've got some teams trying to battle back, maybe even the series up. And we've got one game, in fact, where a team on their own ice is now trying to take control of the series. We welcome in George Kurtz here to take a look at some of these games here tonight, Kurtz. And I'll start with the late game with the Edmonton Oilers and the Kings. Now, I can't imagine any scenario, and I said this also about the Colorado and Winnipeg, I am not sweating out an under in any game ever in this series. Like, absolutely not. So I don't know that the Kings are going to win this, but I bet you they're going to score enough goals to help us get an over ticket across the board here.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. All right, we talked about this on the On In Game Live last night with Wetzel and Sharapan about that Colorado-Winnipeg series. How, yeah, we're not going to get 13 goals, but I'm not betting the under either here. Now, we got the over last night, barely, but we got it. And I feel the same way about the Edmonton game. I'm a little surprised, Joe, that Kings are going back to Talbot net. I thought maybe they'd go to Rittich, but they're going to stick with Talbot here. You want to wait a little bit? You know, I mean, hey, hope the first 5 minutes, there are no goals scored. We get a better price. I'm good with that, but I'm not betting a pregame under. No way in hell. It's just not happening here.
No.
I'm on the pregame over here. If we get a goal early, I'm probably going to hit the over a time or two as well here. I expect goals. You want to go Connor McDavid to get over 2 points? I'm golden there. Hyman to score another goal?
Yep.
Fine. I think there's a million ways you can attack this game. You can bet Edmonton to win and pick your favorite goal scorer. I think McDavid will light the lamp tonight, by the way, since he had so many assists last game. I think he's going to score tonight. You want to take Drysdale, you want to take Hyman, Nugent Hopkins. I think there's a million ways to attack this game, and they're all on the Edmonton side.
I agree with you 100%. I think it'll be fun. That was kind of right. The Edmonton team we thought we would get, we did get it. I think that continues here tonight for us. Do you have Toronto? I know you said when we talked about this before this series, Toronto is the better team, right? Boston's tough on the ice, but them winning that game too might, it did my eyes that this is Toronto's now to lose. Because they're not going to go home and lose to Boston.
I agree. I was on Toronto before the series to win. Right. I thought this was going to be their year, mainly because, you know, Boston, in my mind, is just that, you know, can you control Pastrnak? If you can control Pastrnak, you're going to do well. All right, you're just going to do well. But like you said, if they would have lost on Monday, I would have thought, oh, my God, now you're going back to Toronto in that media storm. And they would have been all, you lose to Boston again? You can't be poor. I mean, it would have been a nightmare for the Toronto players, but you won. You split the series. It's all you want to do in the first two games on the road, right? Split. You come home here. Now, they're still not going to have Nylander tonight. So I think that does hurt. But we saw Austin Matthews go berserk pretty much on Monday all over the place. They are the better team. Now, it's not to say Boston can't win. All right, Swayman will be back in net tonight. And Swayman has not lost to the Bruins this year. He won game one, and he won every game, I think, 3-0 during the regular season here. So I'm sure that gives Boston some confidence. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but, yeah, I think Toronto wins the game.
Well, this is another one of those spots where stay out of the damn box, Toronto. Stop, get it bad. Because if you let Boston muck this thing up and it comes down to power plays, then, you know, here we go. You've got the advantage. Stay out of the box and let it roll. I don't know what we're going – what are we going to get with Dallas here? Because I think you liked them before the series started, but That looked like a whole different Vegas team. I mean, you got Mark Stone out there. I mean, it's like, what is this? We didn't see this team at all this year, and they come rolling out and doing exactly what they've done always against Dallas. Does anything change here?
You could pretty much make an argument that whatever could go wrong for the Stars went wrong in game one, right? You face this Vegas team, and you're already saying it. You're mentioning it. They hadn't really played together, right? Stone's been out for months with the lacerated spleen. All right, the Hurdle, who they acquired at the trade deadline, maybe played two games with them. Pietrangelo had been out with an appendectomy, so they hadn't played together. It made all the sense in the world to go with Dallas in game one at home, and Dallas might be the best team in the NHL, at least so we thought. All right, and then Vegas comes out and puts that kind of performance together. Hurdle scores, Stone scores, but oh, God. And I'll tell you, man, Vegas is only going to get better. You know, because they're going to get that chemistry together. They're going to get used to playing again here. I thought Dallas had a huge advantage in game one, and now you sort of let that slip here. This is a must-win for Dallas. You go down 2-0, and now you're going to go to Vegas? What's your best hope?
Done.
Split and go back to Dallas 3-1? Mm-hmm. This is a must-win for Dallas tonight. But I loved them in game one, ate it there. Listen, I'm going to bet them again tonight, but it'll be a smaller bet. Okay, smaller bet here. I don't think they're going to go down 2-0 here, but I was very impressed with how Vegas played in game one here. And I said, I think everybody in the NHL, by the way, is please, please beat Vegas, please, because they're only going to get better as the playoffs go along here. And if they go past Dallas, I think they also become the favorites out west to make the Stanley Cup.
It was an unbelievable start. I thought once the goal was wiped out for offsides there for Dallas, the tying goal early in the game, and then they pulled it down. I'm like, no, it's not going to be. They outshot the Vegas Golden Knights 29-15 and 19-7 over the final two periods, Kurtz, and they still couldn't take down Vegas. They are going to need a much bigger effort here tonight because, like you said, this series is over. It goes back 2-0 to Dallas. It is absolutely over here. They should play better. And the price on them tonight is not bad, right? 160 maybe? 165? Do you think this is another over here tonight?
I do. All right. A main thing, of course, I don't trust the Vegas goaltenders, Thompson and Hill. They've been banged up. Thompson
no,
was
I
okay in the game. I am concerned about it. All right. I really thought the reason why I like Dallas so much coming into the playoffs, by the way, is I thought not that he was going to be that goalie that we saw the first time he came up against Calgary. Right? He was a brick wall. That was an incredible performance. But I thought he was going to be closer to that than maybe the goalie we had seen it for most of the season, where he was good, okay, but not better than that. I thought he was going to be better than good. You know, maybe very good.
Yep.
So that's what I expected from him here, and I didn't see that in game one. And you already said that what the shots on goal were, right? He should have played better here. So, yes, I kind of lean towards Dallas every over here, maybe another 4-3 game.
Yeah, I kind of with you here. And the way they came out firing, first period over a goal and a half might not be a bad look either. George Kurtz, enjoy those games tonight, my friend. Go Islanders! We'll close it out next. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decision. We look to close out this first hour. We've got much more to get to here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready just about 10 minutes away from the opening tip at the Garden in Boston as the Miami Heat try to even up that series against the Celtics 1-1, but kind of hard to do when the market says you're a 14.5 point underdog in this one. So we will see what happens here with the Heat. A quick update, by the way, Major League Baseball off and running. They can't finish the game. The Orioles are threatening here in the top of the ninth. They are up 6-4 right now. The Angels trying to hold it down to see if they can't come back here in the bottom half of the ninth inning. We'll let you know what happens on that one. And Boston, a quick two runs against the Guardians there. We told you that total sitting at 7.5. 7 hits in this game already. We're in the bottom of the third right now. The Red Sox scored too quick and they are up. We also have the Phillies on top of the Reds, 1-0, and the Brewers and the Pirates already top of the second, 0-0 in that one. Dodgers scored early against the Nats, and the Tigers and the Rays at the Trop just got underway here, 0-0 in that one. Of course, earlier today, we also saw the Cardinals bounce back after an absolute shellacking by the Diamondbacks, 5-1. The Cardinals got it done there, and the Mets scored two more to finish up the Giants, 8-2 in that game. We'll have much more baseball coming up next hour as the A's and Yankees go at it, Braves, Marlins, White Sox, Twins, and, of course, the Astros and the Cubs at Wrigley. I'll tell you now, keep an eye on that wind. Double-digit winds blowing dead in from center field at Wrigley Field here. That total hovering around 7.5. But that is nothing compared to the total that the Miami Heat are looking at here tonight. We had Mark Zinno on a little bit earlier, and he pointed out, because him and I saw the same exact thing this morning, the team total for the Miami Heat hovering around 93.5. It has been bet up a little bit, 94.5 of what we're seeing right now. But the reality is, listen, they scored 94 points in the first game, and they couldn't have hit water if they fell out of a boat. Now, mind you, this also required them to score in the teens in the second or third quarter there. So the way Miami's going to win this game, as far as I'm concerned, is very simple. If they're going to win, they are going to need to play better perimeter defense. They are absolutely going to need the Boston Celtics not to shoot, you know, 45% from three and make 22 of them. And I think that's all realistic when it comes to this game here tonight, because I get nothing away from the Boston Celtics here. They are a very good three-point shooting team, but they went 22 of 46. They can't hit 22 threes in this game. And if they don't, then Miami's going to have a very good opportunity to keep this thing close late. And then at that particular point, yes, I think 100 points is in the future for Miami tonight, just simply because Duncan Robinson has to make more shots. Tyler Hero has to make more shots. Caleb Martin, all the guys that Miami needed to have good offensive games didn't. And not because it was some sort of lockdown defense from Boston, but mostly because they had missed a ton of wide open shots. So I don't need a whole lot to go right for Miami offensively to get up and over the 93.5, 94.5 in that team total. And I'm looking right now at the board and seeing it move a little bit as more money continues to come in on the over in this game. And I think a lot of that has to do with the market saying, listen, Miami is not going to be held to 90 points. They're not going back-to-back 90-point games in the playoffs here. Hero will be more involved. Caleb Martin will be. Duncan Robinson and Bam Adebayo is got to also get involved in the paint in this one. So we need a few things to go right for Miami. Don't think they'll win this, but I do think if you're thinking that you won't be sweating this game out in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, I think you're wrong there. I think this is entirely too many points for a team with their back against the wall with a resume like the Miami Heat. That game getting ready to tip off just in a couple of minutes, and we will have you covered next hour here as Game Time Decisions rolls on the grid. Come back and join us.